We're like a candle that gets lit. You ever do that when you light a birthday cake? You light one candle with, and then you light all the rest of them with the candle. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be lighting one another. Amen. From by the gift of God that's within us, we're to impart that to one another, to minister that gift to each other. And the body together is to be edified, you see, built up together as each member is doing its part to do so. And that's what God is in the business of doing. He's not of tearing down except that he might build up. Sometimes God will tear down first because it's a faulty, amen, situation. But God will build up what he tears down, amen, and he'll make it beautiful. So what he's doing is he's getting his bride, his church, ready, and he's making her beautiful. And through the difficulties that you're facing, it's causing you and I to go deeper into God. And the deeper we go, the more grace, the abundance of life that we're experiencing. And he lifts us up above our situations so that it's not like we would naturally see it anymore. We're looking through his perspective now. We're to see things from heaven's perspective and not from the earth's perspective. We have to understand, if the Bible says in Ephesians that God has raised us up together with Christ. So our perspective is supposed to be from that place with him and not to live by what we see or how we feel, but what God sees and what God says. So that changes everything, doesn't it? We need heaven's perspective. We need God's perspective. We see things naturally, but the Bible says we've been given the mind of Christ. Yes. So the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to show us what's going on. And even if we don't understand what's going on, we do know this, that God is with us and God is for us. And there are going to be times when we're going to be tested in our resolve, you know? When we walk out that door today, who knows? Amen? But God is with us and God is for us. And greater is the one that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have all sufficient grace in our God to overcome every situation that we face. And to do so and to end well. You know? It's not enough to begin well, is it? There's a lot of people who begin well, but they don't finish. But we want to end well. And God is pouring out his Spirit indeed, isn't he? And he's pouring out his Spirit because he's empowering us to be witnesses in the boldness that he imparts to us by his ability and not by our own. There are a lot of people knocking on doors and trying all kinds of techniques and methods, and even churches today that are, they've got all kinds of bells and whistles and attractions to get people to come in. But folks, if it is not by the Spirit of God, it's dead, it's lifeless, it's just a form of godliness, but there's no power. And God has given us his Holy Spirit to empower and to enable us to do the impossible. And what we're called to do is impossible for us. How many have realized that already? How many know that that's not a bad thing? Because that means that we start to shift away from self-dependence, from self-centeredness, to God-dependence. Amen. And focusing on him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to his mighty power. According to his mighty power, dunamis. Same power as in Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis, dynamic, miraculous power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. We shall bear witness to the truth. Amen? And God will confirm his word with accompanying signs. Hallelujah. Well, we're just rejoicing in what God is doing, and God is changing hearts and lives. He's changing me. I'm a work in progress too. We're all in this together. We're to help each other through. We're not to kick each other when we're down. We're here to pick each other up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I grew up part of my life kind of like, you know, we just did our thing. You show up, you go through a program, you know, you follow it on the bulletin, and now we're going to sing a song, and now we're going to have a this, and we're going to do a that, and then we're going to have a closing prayer, and we'll see you later, maybe. I'm not saying that God can't work through that, but God wants to be Lord of the situation that we're in. Amen? Of everything that we do. Amen. And if we're not careful, we can program God out because we have our preset agenda. You know, I have to guard against it as well. That, you know, I have an idea of what we're going to do. I pray and ask God to help. But a lot of times, I don't get much until I'm here on the spot. And then God says, this is what I want you to do. Because we're to learn, all of us, are to walk by faith. Faith is not living in the predictable. You know, in that which you can predict. It's simply saying, okay, God, it's you and I walking through this thing together. In a relationship, I am yoked together or connected together with Christ, and together we're going to do this thing. And it's a daily walk of faith. Faith is I'm listening for his voice, and when I hear him, I say yes. How many have realized it's always better to say yes than to say no? Because we have the option to say no. And many times we have said no, but we've always regretted it. Every time you say no to God, you're going to regret it. God loves you. He loves us so much. He loves us more than we realize or can comprehend. But God wants us to say yes because he knows what's best for us. Because he's a good father, amen, and he loves us. So if it goes counter grain to what I may think or my opinion or how I feel about it, I have to make the decision to deny myself then and say, okay, Lord, my flesh wants to sleep in this morning and my flesh wants to do this, but you're saying to do this. And every time I say yes to what he's saying, there's life. There's life. There's joy. The disciples were filled with joy because they were saying yes on a regular basis to the Lord. And sometimes the enemy presents something that looks like it would be a better alternative or a better option. But there's always a catch to it, isn't there? He takes more than he gives. The enemy can give good gifts too, you know, but he'll always require much more. So I will say yes to God and no to me and live in life and enjoy in the Holy Spirit. And people will see Christ then in my life because I'm walking with him. I'm in unity. I'm abiding in him. Really, it means just to be completely committed, completely dependent on the Lord. That's abiding. And so sometimes, folks, God has to take the toys away. God has to take stuff away, you know, to get us into a position where we're saying, God, help. And then when he comes through, we're like, oh, how wonderful. God, you're awesome. You're amazing. And it produces praise. Praise brings his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it's all working together. You understand that God, he's got it covered. You just got to trust him. And we're learning how to do that. We're learning how to walk by faith. And so today's message is called the faith walk. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, you'll help me to deliver this word today, that you'll guide me and direct me by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, a quote that I have quoted before, and I love this, is by Charles Spurgeon. And it goes like this. When a dog isn't noticed, it doesn't like it. But when it is after a fox, it doesn't care if it's noticed. We have two dogs, so I know. They demand your attention. They don't like it when they're not noticed. But I tell you what, my little dog is 7 pounds and she completely loses her mind if another dog happens to show up. And she's not listening to anybody. She's only thinking about that other dog. She's focused. And see, that's an example of how we should live. We need to live focused lives. We need to know where we're going and why we're going there and how we're going to get there. We need to be focused on the prize. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. Amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's gone before us and he says, follow me. And so when we are self-centered or self-focused, we're concerned about what others think. And we get upset if we're not noticed. Say ouch, somebody. I don't know. But that's our natural man. Our natural man has to be pampered and paid attention to, and, you know, has to be important and has to be praised. Come on, right? But in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him daily. So if I'm self-focused, I can't be a follower of Jesus. I have to get my eyes off me, and I have to get my eyes on the assignment set before me. I need to understand what God is calling me to do, and I need to set myself, posture myself to complete that assignment. I need to be focused, just like that dog. He's on the hunt. We're going somewhere, folks. And this kingdom is not of this world. It's an eternal kingdom. And this world is not our home. If you're in Christ Jesus, this is just a campground. We're just campers, and we should be happy campers. Because we have God in the camp with us. Amen? But we need to stay focused on where we're going, and that's on the Lord. He will direct us as we stay focused. But when we take our eyes off Jesus, the next thing that starts to happen, and I've been there, you've been there, come on, is we just start getting, you know, very self-conscious, and, you know, so-and-so didn't shake my hand, and, you know, they didn't notice me, and they looked at me funny. There must be something going on. And they were whispering over there. They must have been talking about me, and what's that? That's self, man. That's the self-life. That's the part of us that has to die. We have to die to that. You have to say, forget, I don't care. What matters is what God is doing and what God says. And what God says, he likes me and he loves me.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Isn't it cool to know that not only does God love me, but he likes me too. You know why I can say that he likes me? Because he made me the way I am. So you don't have to be anybody except who you are, because God likes you the way you are. But you simply need to say yes to his lead, to his voice, to his direction, because he's a good father and he's also a shepherd who will lead his flock. And he will not lead us into polluted waters. He won't have us feeding on noxious weeds. He'll bring us to a place of refreshing. He'll bring us to a place of abundance. He'll bring us into rest. He'll bring us into that place of still waters where he restores our soul. That's the shepherd, the lover of our soul, Jesus Christ. So this is a walk of daily of faith, not by what we see, not by what we feel, but what we know and believe to be true. God's word is true. God's word is always true. True? God's word is always true. Habakkuk 2:4, now the just shall live by faith. It's also repeated in Romans 1:17. So let's take a look this morning in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. Now this was written to a church under persecution. Verse 35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which means your boldness or your confident hope in God. Do not cast away your boldness or your confident hope in God. He's speaking to a church that was under persecution. They were receiving a lot of opposition from people who hated God and didn't love the Lord. Because your confidence, what, has great reward. Do you understand, folks, if we're not confident, then we will not move. We will not move from where we've been. When a person is depressed, what happens is they kind of settle down into a place and usually shut out. And we're not out, and we're not allowing our light to shine because we're bottled up in self, and depression is keeping us in a prison, if you will. And, you know, it's true, and even in Gail will vouch for this, but in the medical profession, especially in the mind sciences, where they've been doing a lot of research on the human soul and what makes people tick, they will tell you that people who are not focused on themselves always do better. Hey, even science is discovering what the Word of God says. We just need to hand them a Bible and say, here, read it. Save yourself a lot of research. It's all right there, you know. But it's true that those who are focused on themselves have the worst time. Now, I hope I didn't make anybody mad by saying that. But, you know, I've had a few pity parties in my time, too. You know, we get bummed out about stuff. Stuff didn't go the way we thought it should go. And sometimes we have unrealistic expectations about ourselves, too. Sometimes we're placing goals for ourselves that God never told us to do. You know, and when we don't achieve or accomplish the goal we set for ourselves, we're crushed, we're defeated, we're depressed sometimes, you know. But you know what? God's not a hard taskmaster. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. My call for you is going to be a place where there is a joy and there's a peace and it's in right standing with me. So, yeah, my biggest problem is myself. When I start to get full of me and I start to focus on me and my problems and my worries and my wants. And are you hearing me today? But if I'm focused on God and the kingdom and on others, I find like I forget all about that stuff. It's like, not that we don't deal with our problems. I'm just saying that we have to get things in right order. We need to be like that dog who's on the hunt. It's focused on the will of God for my life. There's nothing more important than that. When it's all said and done, it's not going to be how much did you have. It's like, what did you do with what I gave you? So he says here in verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That's the Lord. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We can begin in faith. We can begin in a place of reliance, dependence on God, and daily simplicity, a childlike faith, walking with our Father and enjoying the pleasure of getting to know Him and encountering Him and discovering more of Him. He's amazing. And there's so much that we haven't tapped into or discovered yet, but He makes Himself available if we will seek. We'll find. And there's so much to God that, come on, we cannot comprehend Him completely. But He makes Himself accessible, available for us to come. And so we begin in faith. We begin to do well. And we're keeping it simple. We're, you know, that's why I love when people are just really excited and newborn in the Lord. They're excited for Jesus. And they have that childlike faith. And sometimes along the way, we can lose that and get sophisticated and, complicate things. And take our eyes off the simplicity that was in Christ and then get back under the law of performance and, you know, doing more and working harder. And are you hearing me? Rather than just walking with God and listening for His voice, and the Father says, hey, go do that. And we do that. And guess what? There's a manifestation of His life. And it's like, I love walking with God. I love serving God. I love being His servant. It is exciting. It is a joy to serve the Lord. You will find your joy, your excitement, your bread, your satisfaction in doing the will of your Father God. When you're in God's will, you'll be satisfied. When you're in God's will, you will have strength for the journey. It doesn't mean it's always going to go easy or smooth, but the grace of God will be greater than whatever it is that you encounter or experience or any opposition. Even the disciples overcame, amen, because they trusted in the Lord for their grace every day. How was it that Jesus could endure the cross? How was it that He could say yes to drink the cup for us? It was for the joy set before Him. He had hope. And you know what the hope was, folks? He was going to have a family. He was going to bring you and me into fellowship with Him. That was the joy set before Him, to see you and me redeemed, amen, rescued from hell and citizens of heaven. That's the joy. That's what drove Jesus to the cross, amen. He didn't have to, but it was His love for us that motivated Him to suffer even for us. But the joy set before Him. Jesus demonstrated what it was to walk by faith, to walk in dependence upon the Father every day. And Jesus didn't run out of gas. Amen. He didn't dwindle. He didn't wither. He was always fruitful. Why? Because He continued to abide in the Father. Do you see? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bearing fruit daily. Amen. Don't just wait on Sunday. Don't just take what you got here today and try to live on that for the rest of the week. You know, you got the gift of God. You got the Spirit of God in you. Amen. You have access to Him wherever you're at. We need to be in fellowship because there's a special grace that's released when we're together. But God has daily provision for you. That's why we must pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And give us this day our daily bread. When I was a kid, I was always thinking about Wonder Bread, you know. And now I realize it's not talking about natural bread. He's talking about, I am your bread. I am your life. So now we pray, Lord, give us this day the bread that we need. Your presence. Your power. Amen. Your grace. And He does. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is... Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe. It didn't say he needs to work harder. It says he must believe that He is, that God exists, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, we give some examples here in Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And listen, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith in God. Amen. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What was he saying here? He was looking forward to something superior to what he was presently experiencing. What God has for us is far superior to where we are presently. The kingdom of God is superior to the kingdom of this world. And that's why we need to be living for that superior kingdom and functioning and operating from that place with Christ in the heavenlies, seeing things from God's perspective so that we as ambassadors can properly represent God to this world. We can take of the things of God and reveal them to the world. We can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We can deal with demons when they confront us because God is with us and God is for us. And God wants to destroy the works of the devil. He wants to destroy them in us and He wants to destroy them in others. Amen? So that they can go free. Jesus said, I want you to set the captives free. By faith, verse 11, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now we know that she first chuckled when God spoke to her about this, but she believed God. It's clear right here. And therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, Abraham, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. In other words, Isaac was a miracle baby, supernaturally conceived, because they were both way beyond childbearing years. Were they 99 and 100? And so God is a supernatural God. God can do anything. If God tells you to go do something, He's going to back you up with His grace. And God sometimes will challenge us to do something that we can't naturally do, most of the time. And when we step out and say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to work, but You told me to do it, and I'm going to trust You. And when we're leaning on Him, guess what? His grace is there. God's getting away from self-confidence into God. I need You. Are you hearing me? And when we're in a place of desperation and I need God, it's a good place to be, because then the Spirit of God and of glory can rest upon you. And you can manifest His presence. That way, people will see Him and not us. You see, Jesus could do no great miracle in His own homeland. Why? Because of the unbelief of the people. Because they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? And they didn't realize who they had. They had God incarnate, God in the flesh there. And they said, isn't this just Joseph's son? But what God was going to do was beyond Jesus' natural ability. Everything Jesus did, He did in obedience to the Father. And if the Father tells you and I to do something, once again, He's not going to leave you out there hanging on it. Amen? And we need to learn His voice. We need to learn His voice through practice. Walking by faith is just that. It's walking daily, practicing, right, this thing that we're called to do. And as we step out of the boat like Peter did, we begin to experience God's supernatural ability. Well, I can't overcome this sin. I can't overcome this habit. Yes, you can, by His grace. You can in yourself, no, but by His grace, you can. You and Jesus together. So when we step out with Him, He meets us there, and He is revealed through us to the world. You understand? God wants to reveal Himself to the world through you and I. If we're self-centered, if we're self-focused, if we're like that dog that's sitting in the kennel and just swatting the fleas because he doesn't have any purpose, he doesn't know what his purpose is, we need to get out of the kennel. Amen? Get on the hunt and say, okay, Lord, where are we going today? Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yeah.
You know? I've been bottled up too long. Let's go. I'm getting out of this cage. And it's exciting to watch, because God has taken me to places and done things in my life that I would have never imagined would be possible. And to preach the gospel, come on, that was the last thing on my agenda. Yeah, that's the one God said, no, you're the one I'm going to call. Yeah. Because you can't, then I will, you know. What we can't do, He will do. But we need to depend on Him. We need to be yoked up together with Him. We need to be listening to His voice and following His lead. Now, true faith is plowing and sowing in hope, despite appearances. So if we really believe God, then regardless of what it looks like, regardless of how I feel, if I have a promise, if I have a word, if I have an unction of the Spirit where He's pressing me to do something, and I obey His voice and I do it, God comes through. He has never, ever failed me. There's been times I've been put on the spot and planned anything, just something happened. I found myself in a situation where, guess what? I'm supposed to do something, you know, and I can't. And so I'm saying, oh, God, help. And then you walk away after you said help, after that situation's over and you just had a divine encounter with God, it was a divine appointment. You had no expectation that you were going to find yourself in that place, but it was a divine appointment and you were there. And then you walk around saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a vessel. Sometimes it's scary to the natural man, but we're learning how to lean on Him and we're walking in faith. Walking in faith. You feel like, well, I can't get over this problem I've had. I've been having this besetting sin. Maybe it's a lust problem, whatever you're dealing with today. God's got enough grace to set you free from that. You know what? God is not weak. Isn't that right, Robin? I remember him using that line one time. I said, I like that. God is not weak. And people say, well, I can't. And then he'll ask him, well, is God weak? Well, no. Then what's the problem? It's not God, it's you. Amen? And it's true. It's we just need to depend on His ability, on His grace. And so desperate hearts and hungry hearts are filled. And when they're filled, then it's His grace working through us. Now, you know as well as I do that a farmer sows seed before he ever sees a harvest. There's an example of it, isn't it? If you and I are expecting to finish well, if you and I are expecting to overcome this world and end well and hear Jesus say, well done, then we're going to have to learn the lesson of the farmer. And we're going to have to say, you know what? I don't care if I feel anything, if I see anything. God's telling me to do this thing. God's telling me to love people. God's telling me to sow into the hearts and lives of other people. God's telling me to serve others. And when I do those things, that even though I may not see any immediate results, I may not even get any warm fuzzies. But I'm living by faith, realizing that what I sow today, someday is going to come back. When a farmer sows, he's sowing with expectancy that someday that thing is going to sprout. Amen. That plant is going to come up and eventually bear fruit. That's walking by faith. Walking by faith means daily I am sowing in the Holy Spirit. Daily I am praying. Daily I'm in the Word. Daily I'm talking to people. Amen? And I'm sowing into the lives and the hearts of other people. I'm not living for myself. I'm living for God and I'm living for the kingdom. That's what it means to walk by faith. Never be a Christian, what? For yourself. It's impossible. It's not being a Christian at all, actually. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. So we're all called to the service of the King. Now, look back at Hebrews 11:13. It says that all these that were listed died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You see that? In other words, they were focused on eternity. They were living for that eternal world. And sometimes God takes us into the wilderness in our lives and things happen and brings us into a place which is not a bad thing. It's actually a great place to be because it's where we really start to grow and we start to get roots and we start to get deep and God starts chipping stuff off in those areas. You know what I'm saying? Because now we're saying, okay, God, all the artificial security blankets are gone. It's just you and me now. How are we going to walk this one out? Thank God I'm not alone. He'll always be there for you. He'll never leave you. Isn't that right? He'll never forsake you. Doesn't matter what's happening, how bad it looks. God will be faithful to you. Trust Him. And you will not be disappointed. See, true faith is plowing and sowing in hope. In other words, true faith is being obedient to God, listening to His voice. Ecclesiastes, I love this, chapter 11 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Do you see that? The enemy is the one who comes to discourage. He comes with clouds. He comes with impossibility sometimes. He presents them to you and he magnifies your situation and hopes that he'll get you to put more faith in what's impossible than in God who can do all things. If he can get you to focus on your problem will become bigger, it will magnify, and it will overtake you. But when you face a problem, the first thing we need to do is look at the enormity of our God, the ability of our God, the greatness of our God. He is able to do it. Amen? He's able to get us through it. He's able to overcome this. He has overcome the world. And because he's in me, I can also overcome this situation. So if I'm observing the clouds, folks, you know what? I'm not going to get out there. If I'm just waiting, in other words, if I'm waiting for everything to be just so, when I finally arrive at perfection, then I'll start serving God. Forget it. You'll never arrive, right? That way. God calls you the way you are, and as you're being obedient, he's transforming us, and he's leading us into small responsibilities that become greater responsibilities, but with greater responsibility come greater privileges and greater blessings, greater fruitfulness. Even if we don't see it now, many of those who are listed in Hebrews 11, remember, they didn't see the promises in their lifetime. But they saw them afar off and they embraced them. They believe that I'm living for that world. I don't care if it feels good, if it costs me, if I don't see any fruit or any evidence right now. It doesn't matter. I know that what I'm sowing today, someday, am I too loud, will return. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary and well-doing, for in due season what you have sown will return. Let us not be weary, amen, in serving the Lord. Don't look at the clouds. Don't allow the clouds to shut you down and put you into depression. Get your eyes off you and get them on him. Cry out to God. He is there for you. He will lift you up. David was a man who dealt with depression. David was a man who dealt with all these oppositions and people that were against him and people that were mocking and talking about him and wanting to kill him and take him out. And David learned that his refuge was not in a pill, amen, it wasn't in dope, but his refuge was in his God. And the Lord lifted him up out of that miry clay, amen. He lifted him up out of his situation and he set him on high. And he discovered the secret place of the Most High. Didn't matter what was going on around him. There's a place of refuge in the Lord, isn't there? Yeah. Every one of us here know what it's like to struggle and to be in places where we've never been before and wonder if we're ever going to get through it. But God's calling us higher. He's calling us to come deeper. He's calling us to come into his presence. Come into that deep place with me. You'll find rest for your soul. And then you will see your problem from his perspective. And you'll say, was that the thing that I was so stressed out about? Oh, I can tell you so many stories how that's the way it's been. That when I'm facing, I'm like, oh, God, what? And then later you're like, that was it? The enemy magnifies the problem. We need to magnify the Lord, it says. And I want to finish with this, if you would, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. And I hope and trust that you and I will both apply this to our own lives, not just hear another message and forget it, but to really understand what Jesus, the Master, is saying to us here. And he's speaking to his church, by the way. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, turn to your neighbor and say, we are unprofitable servants. And we have done what was our duty to do. You understand, Jesus is also saying here that, folks, listen, the master is going to be served first. Amen? We serve God now, here and now, first. the day will come when he's going to have you sit down and he's going to serve you. He's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you. But seek first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else in your life, and he's going to take care of all the rest of the stuff. And you'll find yourself not walking in stress, but entering into the rest because you're trusting and relying upon his ability, his power to sustain you. The problems we have are good for us because they cause us to go deeper into God. If we handle them correctly, that is. And now look at this in Mark 13 and verse 31. Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Listen, he says, pay attention, take heed. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. What's the time he's talking about? The time of his coming, the time of his return. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and this is between his first and second coming. And he's saying, I'm going to leave this house, and I'm going to return to heaven, and I'm going to give my servants on earth work to do while I'm away. And I'm going to give them the authorization to finish or accomplish the work that I've given them. So what is the house, folks? The house is the church. We are his household, the household of God. And God has given unto us gifts and abilities. And the Lord has gone away. The Master has gone on a long journey. Amen? And the Lord is going to return. And he's telling his church that you need to be faithful to what I've given to you, because my commandment is to love one another and to love people. And the reason why I gave you gifts and I gave you talents is so that you can minister to other people those gifts and those talents, so you could be a blessing, so that out of your life, my light would shine. And many would be touched, many would be changed, many would be healed. And the day will come when the Lord will have you sit down and he will serve you in his kingdom. He said in verse 34, listen, this is what it's like. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. And he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. He left his church. He gave authority to who? His servants, to govern his house. And then he said something else interesting here. He said he commanded in verse 34 the doorkeeper to watch. I believe the doorkeepers, folks, are the watchmen. Those are the people that God, the fivefold gifts of the ministry that God has given responsibility to apostles, to prophets, to pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Amen? Not in that order. But he's given this responsibility to certain people to build or to impart into the church the goods that God imparts to them. Are you hearing me? So we can minister the life of Christ and edify or build up the body of Christ. The purpose of the ministry is not so we can just get goosebumps and feel good, amen, and do a bunch of shouting. But the reason for the ministry is that you can be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Every one of us here is called to the ministry. You may not be called to be a pastor or an evangelist, but you're called to the ministry of the Spirit. Amen. How many here have discovered that it is a joy to be used of the Lord? Amen. But it is a joy, isn't it, to serve Him? So the Lord has ascended on high. He's coming again, folks. And the thing about it is, listen to this, is that there's coming a day. Please hear this and we're going to be finished. There's coming a day when we shall give an account to God. And he's going to ask us, what did you do with my money? I'm not talking about the dollar bill now, get it? I'm talking about his divine impartation, his grace. What did you do with the gift that I gave you? Have you gone and have you used it? Have you blessed others? Have you been faithful to love others with what I've given to you? I want to hear Jesus say in that day, well done. I know who you are. You've been faithful You've been faithful to what I told you to do. You were willing even to suffer ridicule and rejection from people to be faithful to what I called you to do. You were willing to do whatever I told you to do because you trusted me, because you loved me. Because you loved me, you served me. Because you knew my love for you was so great that I laid down my life for you. I gave my life for you so you could be free. And now I'm asking you to go and share this with others. Let them know that there's a way for them to be free. There's a way for them to receive forgiveness of their sins. There's a way for them to be rescued from the power of sin. There's a way for them to be free from addiction. There's a way for them to have joy in a sin-sick world that we live in. You see, we're the ones that have the direct line to God. Amen. We're the ones that have been given His Spirit. So we should be joyful. We should be manifesting His presence in every place. The people should be able to see that you and I are His people. For too long, the world has looked at the church and said, oh, a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what? In a lot of cases, it's true. Because we don't do what He says. And we say, God, I want to do what you say. I want to worship you with all my life. How many are here today and you say, you know what? I realize how much God has done for me and the price that was paid for me, that I want to love God back. How many want to love God back? Amen. Amen. If you want to love God back, it's because His Spirit is within you. If you don't desire to love God back, it means that you don't have His Spirit. But if His Spirit's in you, you will have a desire to serve and love God back. And we do that by serving and loving the people we see. Isn't that true? Oh God, we thank you for your grace. And according to the abilities that you've given each one of us, Lord, by faith, we're going to step out. We're saying yes to you today, Lord. Would you say yes to Jesus today? Are you willing to go all the way with Him? Do you want to hear Him say in that day, well done? You see, some people, He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. But I want to be one of those that He says, I know who you are. Enter into the joy of the Lord.